Nevertheless, I tried to incorporate, well, actually, I was writing things down and incorporating in the definition both a clear definition of the goal with a recognition that the way to the goal is not just knowing a few phrases and then doing it, and then getting there. That this is a long-term effort. The practice of interior prayer is long-term. You can't expect immediate results that will sort of justify a certain kind of intermittent practice. It's long-term, and it requires a kind of commitment, maybe that is even more than simply the commitment that one has of being an Orthodox Christian and attending services and going to confession and participating in the sacraments. It requires that a commitment to trying to stand in the presence of God at all times. So I brought that in. Now you'll notice that interior prayer, that the beginning is, it's the progression. So there is a progression involved. There are steps, there are stages. And the stages or steps are based upon where one is in the spiritual life. And over 2,000 years of consistent and continuous attention and observance and discernment on the part of some of the greatest spiritual masters who ever lived, it has come down to us in a sort of generalized fashion what these stages are. You know, the stage of the beginner, the stage of the intermediate, the stage of the perfect, or the stage, the purgative stage, the illuminative stage, and then finally the unitive stage, or the stage of praxis, the stage of knowledge, and finally the stage of theologia, stage of theology, or the stage of union with God. So we know those stages exist, those three basic stages, and we know that even within the three basic stages, there are numerous, you could say, levels. And the spiritual discernment of a spiritual father or mother is generally grounded in the experience that they have, firstly, of their own progression in it, and secondly, of the people that they are shepherding or helping. And Cenobitic monasticism, the monasticism in community, is grounded in that and grounded in one's helping one another. So progression is key. Remember, it's progression. It's not instantaneous realization. And it's progression in what? Not just prayer. Not just supplicatory prayer or prayer of thanksgiving or all the various kinds of prayers. But it's grounded in the prayer of repentance. Inner prayer is always prayer of repentance. It's always that. Repentance is at the heart of inner prayer. It's at the very words of the Jesus prayer are essentially, Lord, have mercy. At the very core of the Jesus prayer are two elements, Lord and have mercy. We add the holy and powerful name of Jesus to that so that we understand who our Lord is. And we add that he is the Son of God, and so it brings the Trinity, our triune understanding of divinity into it. But really it's Lord. Lord, have mercy. So it's Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, which is the understanding of who the Lord is. And what we are asking for is, have mercy on me, the sinner. Have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. So always, and that's the core of interior prayer. the absolute core. It's a prayer of repentance. So unceasing prayer is grounded in unceasing repentance. Repentance is not just something that happens occasionally, or it can be, but if it does, then you haven't opened the door to inner prayer yet. It's a state, because when we are striving for, right, we are striving to stand in the presence of God, consciously be in God's presence. That's our striving. So if we are in God's presence, and if we experience even the tiniest bit of that reality, instantly repentance would be at the very center of our being. If we are not experiencing repentance, but we are saying the Jesus prayer, then we are only saying it mechanically or outwardly. It's an infallible sign. Remember that. It's an infallible sign of where your state is when you are praying. When you are praying interior prayer, noetic prayer, mental prayer. So the progression of the prayer of repentance, which is interior prayer, from a verbal prayer to a mental prayer, from saying it verbally to saying it mentally. Saying it verbally is not the same as saying it mentally. And there are degrees of saying it mentally. You will find these degrees in the writings of the great fathers. In Gregory Palamas, for example, you will find a discussion of these degrees. There's also a brilliant and beautiful discussion of the degrees in the book called Orthodox Spirituality by Father Dimitri Staniloi, the great Romanian theologian of the 20th century who died in 1993. I mean, it's truly astute. And it, Orthodox Spirituality. I think it's published by St. Tikhon's. So it's a progression from verbal prayer to mental prayer. That's the key. And so mental prayer is a goal. Ultimately, the goal is to say the prayer in the heart. So really, it's a progression from verbal prayer to mental prayer to cordial prayer, or to the prayer in the heart. But it is grounded. What makes it happen is the ascetic practice that goes along with it. That's why the next phrase is coupled with the purification of our interior being. The purification of our inner being has to go along with this. Why? Why does it have to go along with it? It has to go along with it. It has to be a part of prayer. And this is why we are uniting prayer and fasting. This is why, the title of my talk is Interior Prayer and Neptic Fasting. Neptic fasting really is at the heart of, coupled with the purification of our interior being. This is why prayer and fasting are always said together. Jesus said that when the disciples said to the Lord, after they tried to cast out the demoniac, the boy with the possessed boy, why couldn't we cast him out? And he said, he answered to them, this kind can only be cast out by prayer and fasting. He didn't blame them, but he told them that it is actually more beneficial It's more of a spiritual achievement to master your inner being, to purify, to the purification of your inner being through prayer and fasting than it is to cast out demons. Remember, too, that this occasion occurred right after, in all the Gospels, it occurs right after the Transfiguration. Jesus goes up on the mountain with the three disciples and is transfigured before them. And they experience that transfiguration themselves. And then when he comes down from the mountain with his three disciples, he sees a crowd gathered. And they're all up in arms and they're all carrying on. And then when he says, "What's going on?" That's when the Father said, your disciples couldn't cast out the demon from this, my son. And then, well, we won't go into that because that'd be another talk. But that the connection is there. So the purification of our interior being, leading to, and here is where I try to describe what the progression is, leading to the intermittent experience of, and gradual permanent acquisition of. You have to say both. Intermittent means it comes and it goes. You may have the grace of prayer for a moment, and then again, you might not. And gradual permanent acquisition of prayer in the heart. This is to say that prayer in the heart is learning to practice the prayer of the heart in the heart is a practice that'll take all you've got. It'll take everything you've got. And even then, even with everything you've got, it is something that comes to you by grace. So you are praying, you're hoping, you're praying for the grace of experiencing the prayer of the heart. And occasionally, it may happen, occasionally without effort on your part, it will happen. You will be in the heart. You will be standing before God in the heart. And then perhaps another day, another day will come and you will struggle and struggle and struggle and never seem to get out of your mind. And you will wonder, why? You know, is it just me? You know, so that whole idea of a feeling despair or despondency over it is a temptation that's got to go. Temptation. Remember that. Every time you feel that, oh, it'll never happen to me, I'll never get there, that is definitely a demonic temptation. That's really because the demonic world, the demons do not want you to practice prayer. They don't want you to be humbly praying a prayer of repentance. They'd rather have you kind of go to church on a regular basis, but just be generally more or less asleep. They like it. They like it when you're asleep. Because then they can insert all sorts of little interesting things for you to do and all that. They like to be puppet masters. But we want to be free. And the prayer of the heart, this prayer, interior prayer, is the path to true spiritual freedom. There is no other spiritual freedom but this. So leading to the intermittent experience, you may experience it, you possibly, then again years may go by and nothing may happen. But never give up hope. Why? Because through commitment, you need the commitment. You are totally committed. Once you get a taste of God, you don't want anything else. You won't be settled for just external observances. So you want the taste. If you have the taste just once, well, however it comes about, maybe it won't even happen through prayer. Maybe it'll happen through somebody else praying for you, and it'll just pop. But if you get the taste, that taste is something you need to remember. Because it won't stay, but if you get the taste, you won't be satisfied. So that taste is the basis of the commitment. the commitment to the continuous practice or the invocation of the name of Jesus, the Jesus Prayer. Jesus Prayer then becomes the core of your spiritual practice. Everything else is part of it, but at the core, you are saying, Lord, have mercy. At the core, you are saying, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. With the hope, spiritual hope, and the aim, it's got to be the aim, of attaining the grace of pure and unceasing prayer. Unceasing prayer is a grace. Pure prayer is the opening the door to the contemplation, to the vision of God, to theoria, to divine and luminous theoria, vision of God.